This is The Pulse, stories at the heart of health, science, and innovation. I'm Maiken Scott. Questions beget questions, right? That's certainly true for reporters. A lot of times when we're working on one story, we stumble on another issue that's really worth looking into. That happened to me recently when I did a piece about surgeons and how they communicate the results of operations to patients.
They want to know, obviously, are they healing satisfactorily? Are they healing at a normal rate? Does the wound look good? Is there hernia been fixed?
For this story, I interviewed a bunch of recent surgery patients about their experiences, and we talked about that moment when you first wake up from anesthesia. And here's what I was hearing back.
You know, that's the weird part. So it's going to be embarrassing to say, but I woke up crying.
That's Sakia Gibbons. She was finishing college at the time, and she said she woke up from a major surgery, and suddenly she was really worried about a group project that she had to finish for one of her classes.
Oh, I have to type up this thing. They're going to be so mad at me. And the funny thing is I was reacting like disproportionate to how I actually felt, because in my head I knew like, oh, they'll be understanding, but my body was reacting. And the other time that I had surgery, I also cried, but for no reason. I was just like, I'm just sad. And I was just boohooing.
The more patients I talked to, the more crying stories I heard. Here's Philadelphian Sarah Tebby. She had a hip replacement. She said she woke up and wept.
And a nurse came by and said, oh, honey, what's wrong? And I said, my dog died. And she said, oh, sugar, I'm sorry. When did your dog die? I said, 8 years ago. And I think it had actually been 5 years before that the dog had died.
I started to wonder if this was a thing, crying after anesthesia. So I asked around a bit and found out that nurses who work in recovery rooms are very familiar with this.
As patients are coming out of anesthesia, I notice sometimes tears rolling down their cheeks to outward bawling.
That's Esmond Almentasser. She's a nurse educator in the post-op care unit at Jefferson. So I tried to research this phenomenon and look at some studies, but I found nothing. Finally, anesthesiologist James Heitz told me I was searching in vain.
If you look at any of the major textbooks of anesthesiology, and there are three of them, you won't even find crying in the index. It's not even mentioned, but it's something that patients talk about.
Heitz teaches at Thomas Jefferson University, and he has just completed a book about post-anesthesia care. One whole chapter is dedicated to crying.
It occurs frequently enough that we should be aware of it as providers. It may generate some interest among the medical community. And if you look on the internet, if you Google crying after surgery, you will get pages and pages of information, and it's all generated by patients.
What Heitz is talking about is called pathological crying.
They're not in pain. They're not upset. They're not sad. They're not scared. But they'll be weeping.
Why this happens is unclear. Heitz says that all of anesthesia remains a mystery on many levels. For example, it's not even yet understood how exactly the process works. And there's no serious research on what aspect of going under makes some people cry when they wake up. The drugs used to sedate patients seem to play a role.
There's a medication called sevoflurane, which is a gas that we use commonly to keep patients asleep. There's some increased incidence of crying when that gas is used.
But Heitz suspects many factors could be involved. The stress of surgery combined with medications and feeling slightly disoriented. He says for children, crying after anesthesia is very common. It happens in about 30% to 40% of the cases. For adults, the numbers are much lower. He estimates them to be around 3%. But crying is not even something that gets written down in the patient notes. Nurse Esmond Almentasser says no matter what the cause, it's important to reassure her patients.
We hold their hands, touch their shoulder, wipe their tears, and just listen. Sometimes the best comfort we can give is just to stay silent and listen to them cry and just be there for them.
Heitz hopes that documenting this phenomenon could inspire some more research on the causes. Understanding it might help patients who suffer with pathological crying because of illnesses such as Parkinson's or because they've had a stroke. Have you had a similar experience? Did you wake up crying after anesthesia? We want to hear about it. Tell us about it. Go to our Facebook page. We are on Facebook/The Pulse.